Holy Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Children ages 3 through 10 are invited to follow the storyteller for a Bible story, prayers, and music.
Through the written word and the spoken word, God, help us to hear your living word, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Y'all know that I believe in Jesus, and something I believe in nearly as much is that there is a country song for everything. I grew up on country music television and can name a song for many of life's moments. Christian Bush, who is one half of the country duo Sugarland, wrote a song called Trailer Hitch that is pretty close to our gospel passage for today. Bush questions why everyone wants to die rich. He says, "Everybody tries to fit it into that ditch. You can't take it with you when you go. Never seen a hearse with a trailer hitch. Never seen a hearse with a trailer hitch." Now, in Jesus' day, they did not have hearses, nor trailers, nor trailer hitches. So instead, Jesus says this: "Take care, be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And further, you fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich toward God." Our parable today presents a relatable, even if hyperbolic, image. The rich man did not have enough space to store his crops, so he pulled down his barns and built bigger barns to store the grain. We might not literally be tearing down barns and building bigger barns for our harvests, but we as a culture are buying larger homes, filling storage units, and piling bank accounts high. And when our money does not keep up with the appearances, we take on debt. Our culture tells us to always be earning, and then earning more, and more again. Our culture tells us to consume, to hoard, to store away our treasures. Our culture tells us that we must always be producing, achieving, growing in power and in wealth. We can easily spend our days, weeks, and our entire lives in pursuit of something. We yearn for an ever-increasing, unattainable more. And for what? For what? Be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. If we turn our attention to Ecclesiastes, we hear vanity of vanities, all is vanity. The whole book of Ecclesiastes speaks of human toiling for unattainable ends. And the teacher tells us, all is vanity and chasing after the wind. The alternative offered in the text is to live life and to enjoy what is already before us. In reading both Luke and Ecclesiastes, we are invited to reconsider success and sufficiency. These texts invite us to question what the point of life even is. Now, I want to be clear about two things. One, I am not immune to the allures of money, of productivity culture, of constant achievement or success. I experience greed and jealousy. I have more stuff than I realistically need or even want. I do not speak to you as a person who has figured this all out. I speak to you as a person trying to live faithfully each day. Two, I will not be giving you advice on retirement. I'd have to include lots of fine print disclaimers, and solid financial advice is often in tension with the gospel. I pray that each of us lives the fullness of our days with dignity, but you'll need a real financial advisor to sort that out with you. I will, however, invite you to include your church in your legacy planning. Now that that's out of the way, what is the point of life? What's the point of life? What if the point of life is simply living? Living with enough, living with God, living among God's people. What if that's the whole point? God grants us life so that we may live. God grants us life so that we may live in genuine relationship with our Creator and with all of her creation. God grants us life so that we may have quality time with those we love, so that we may connect, share, and support, so that we can laugh, play, and wonder, so that we can enjoy the beauty and blessings of this life. God grants us life in which we can exist in interdependent, relational, abundant, faithful ways. Interdependent, relational, abundant, and faithful ways. Constant striving for more is harmful to our spirits. It distorts our priorities. It keeps us from God and community. We lose track of the joys of life, and we lose track of one another. Inevitably, constant striving and desire for more, more, more is also at a cost to our fellow human. I do not believe that it is possible to be a billionaire and to live ethically. No one needs $1 billion. $1,000,000,000. To achieve that level of wealth will always be at the cost of other people, their lives and their livelihood, and the earth as we know it. I recognize that may be controversial. And there's a whole lot of gray area before we get to a billion. No matter how much we have or don't have, it's worth examining our priorities in life. That's true for all of us. Likewise, in the year of our Lord 2025, famine and starvation are man-made and manufactured. There is more than enough food. More than enough. But hunger for power can be insatiable. Yet the gospel tells us, full bellies will always matter than full and inflated egos. Full bellies will always matter more. Jesus tells us over and over to care for the hungry, the poor, and the vulnerable. When life centers on wealth and power, we become greedy, isolated, and disconnected from reality. We turn people into objects. We lose track of our true meaning. Our flourishing is replaced by constant yearning for more. We forget our need for God and for one another. Big barns for storing up more crops will harm our spirit. Existing in search of excess resists the need for faith in God and for God's abundance and mystery. Insistence on control denies our Creator. When life centers on living, we are more able to live in genuine relationship with God and with God's people. We are more able to find simple joys in life. We are more able to notice when we have enough and to let it be enough. We can give of our excess and receive when we are in need. We are more able to be generous with, for, and through God. We can notice beauty. We can share love and resources. We can be fully human. God made us to be fully human. We do not need bigger barns. We need bigger tables. We do not need more stuff. We need more relationships. We do not need to only be productive. We also need to play. We do not need more power. We need more faith. We do not need more earning and striving and pursuing. We need more living. This life is for living. This life is for enjoying. This life is for loving God and loving each other. This life is for loving God and loving each other. There's actually a lot of country songs about that. So I'll close in the wise words of Dolly Parton. Better start caring, better start sharing, better start trying, better start smiling. And you better get to living. Amen.